Yes, it does seem like it's a very different process. It certainly is more calmer, more focused on asking him about legal issues, asking him about his experience as a judge, and ultimately whether he will be a good candidate for Deputy Chief Justice. So other interesting parts about it, Shafiq, is that even though it is, it seems a lot more calmer, but the questions seem to be tougher at the same time, which is quite interesting because we never really got to deal with some of the tough questions the last time because it was taken up by all of the other side shows that happened at the last occasion.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, I'm not an expert. That's why we call people like yourself. But my limited understanding is that, yes, I think I could use the word substantive. Some of the arguments being brought up about judges who may not be form or legal officers, talking about raids on one of the courts, I can't quite remember because I'm scrolling too fast, and a lot, some questions also coming in about the process, etc. So it's quite refreshing to see that they're getting boring down to what the real issues are.
Yeah, absolutely, and I love that you use the word boring because that is actually what judges' interviews should be. They shouldn't be dramatic. They should really be boring. Should be focused on the law and whether the judge is able to actually apply the law. And that, unfortunately, hasn't been common in the JSC. And it's quite refreshing, as I say, to see it play out this time. And you remember, Shafiq, the process of the JSC in this time around when it's interviewing the Deputy Chief Justice is to give advice to the president on whether any of the three candidates are suitable for appointment. The JSC is not the one that makes the ultimate decision. It is the decision of the president, which actually was the big problem the last time when the JSC was doing interviews with the Chief Justice, in that they went ahead and said, we want this candidate versus any other candidates. And that, I think, was something that was wrong. But we see now that the JSC is correcting that kind of thing that they did the last time. But also, they are really, really laser focused on the suitability of Judge President Mlambo, and at some point I didn't expect that he would, but he tripped up on some of the answers because of how tough the questions are.
Indeed, and what has come up, and as I say, what's come up, more posts pop up, but Mlambo, it says, for example, is critical of what he describes as the conservative legal culture that he says can result in exploitation of the most vulnerable. And he gives an example of bondholders in places like Soweto having litigation launched against them at the last minute, but then to get to a hearing, they have to catch four taxis, which for poor people is absolutely crippling. And saying that, he says that, for example, the magistrate's court in Soweto should have jurisdiction over cases like that. So I'm just using that as an anecdotal example where this hearing is heading to. And also, actually, I'm quite excited that particular topic is being discussed, because there are times when the court actually does trump the poor person.
Yes, I think questions of access to justice have been a very strong feature in the interview so far. You're quite right. They did ask him about the questions of people who have bonds and who have cases where they might lose their homes. They only find out at the very last minute. And what kind of ideas does Judge Mlambo have in dealing with those kinds of issues? It's been a common feature. Earlier on, he was asked about the cost of accessing the courts, in that you have to pay lawyers quite a lot of money, and whether that actually makes the Constitution not be a reality in a lot of people's lives. But one of the strong points that Judge Mlambo has over the other candidates is that he's worked a lot in this access to justice space. He was previously the chairperson of the Legal Aid Board for 17 years. And some of what he's spoken about are the innovations that he's brought to make sure that many more people have access to a free lawyer, even if it's at the moment mainly focused on criminal cases. But he says the intention was to build legal aid to be the global model of how you deliver legal services to poor people. He also spoke about how the budget of the legal aid was about 2 billion rand, which is almost the size of the budget of the judiciary at the moment. And so that has in some ways prepared him for the role of Deputy Chief Justice. And so he believes that because of that experience, he is a cut above the other candidates.
Does the Deputy Chief Justice have a different job to the head. You know, often like the president of a country will delegate things to the deputy president, for example, just as a matter of example. So how does the deputy justice work?
So it works around the same way as the example that you cite, Shafiq. The chief justice delegates certain of the functions to the Deputy Chief Justice. So when the Chief Justice is not available, for example, for hearings at the Constitutional Court, it is the Deputy Chief Justice who is the presiding officer in those hearings. But there's other aspects that are specifically delegated to the Deputy Chief Justice. And one of the big ones is the enforcement of the Judicial Code of Conduct and making sure that judges do follow the judicial ethics that are in place. And so the Deputy Chief Justice runs the Judicial Conduct Committee, and that is his delegated function. And that's actually quite an interesting point, because when Justice Meyer came in as former Chief Justice Zondo's deputy, there's something that she took on quite strongly. And in the last 2-3 years that we saw her taking up that role, we saw quite a dramatic improvement in the role of the Judicial Conduct Committee. And so we expect that the three candidates today and tomorrow will speak a little bit about that aspect.
It is encouraging to see how the candidates are answering their questions, as we indicated at the beginning of the interview. And as I say, the calmer atmosphere, as you so correctly point out, allows the panelists to really, as I say, bore down, drill down, and to get to the heart of the matter and to see what really makes the candidates tick.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the big things about this interview is for us as the public to understand what is the approach of the judge when it comes to legal questions or philosophical questions. So one of the big questions that Judge Mlambo was asked a few minutes ago by Advocate Ngwaitobi was his broader judicial philosophy. So how will he implement the Constitution? How does he interpret the law to make sure that poor people, for example, are protected, to make sure that he addresses the apartheid legacy when it comes to property ownership in the country? Those kinds of big questions are supposed to give us as the public an insight into how this judge thinks. And if he was to get the second highest job in the country, will he be able to step up to that position? So it's an important and fascinating process, even for non-legal people.
And Mbekezeli Benjamin, researcher, Judges Matter, I'll allow you to go back to the hearing, but thank you for popping your head out of it to chat to us. Thanks for joining us.